Hello and welcome to another edition of our weekly tech show where we talk about all things tech, tech plus, with myself, Ian, and as always joined by Kane. Hello, Kane. December, hey?
December already.
It's our first one for the month of December. It's the 2nd of December, 2023. What? How on earth did this happen?
What a year. What a flash.
Yeah. It's just unreal, isn't it?
It was just flipping October. It was just September. Like, blinked twice.
Do you think, is it possible, scientifically, is it possible that the Earth is spinning faster and faster?
It sure
could
feels
it be,
like it.
Or is somebody playing with the clocks? Well, they say somebody's playing with the weather.
It sure feels like it, you know. And I think the crazy thing for me is everyone says that time feels like it's speeding up.
Yeah?
You know, young or old. So
really, hey?
So you gotta wonder. But definitely time flies. I think, you know, there's a saying, time flies when you're having fun, but now time just flies. You don't have to have fun anymore.
It's yeah, not necessarily having fun, eh?
It's just flies.
Just surviving, actually.
It's unreal, actually.
Yes, but, geez, and I mean, talking about things that are totally dear macabre, I mean, Eskom this week, it was like a, what do you call it, up and down, a seesaw. It was like a seesaw, hey? Then we're on stage 6. Then we went to 5. We've never really been on 5. It's always 4 or 6. So we went to 5. And then we went to 4. And then we went to 3. And then 2. Where's 1? I don't know.
It was all over the place. And over the weekend, I was in J-Bay.
Ah, lekker. What was that like?
It was really nice. And you know what really got me confused? And maybe this is normal for everyone else. But the load shedding schedule in J-Bay is on odd numbers.
Oh, because
so like
we're used to
11.
Even numbers, hey?
Yes.
Oh, okay, so, yeah, 9 to 11, yeah, that's odd, eh?
So it's all the odd numbers, which I thought was the first weird thing, but then it's also reduced load shedding compared to everywhere else, and I think it's because the windmills, and I think it's close proximity to solar farms or something like that, but definitely doesn't feel like it has as much load shedding. I mean, you know, when I was in J-Bay in Naizen at the same time, there was like an 8 p.m. to 12 and a 2 a.m. to 6. And we had like 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. the whole day in J-Bay. It's like nothing.
Yeah.
So it was wild to know that people back home are 8 hours in, you know, 2 hours of power across 10 hours.
We had a lot of 4-hour sessions, eh? And the batteries just didn't last, eh?
No.
I had a UPS, that lasted for the internet. It lasted 3 hours and 59 minutes. It had one more minute to go to 4 hours and it gave in.
Just had to push that last bit.
Yeah, and it just went off. It's like, come on, you could have at least lasted another 60 seconds.
If you didn't watch that one extra Facebook post, yeah, you would have made it.
Yeah, but I don't know, did you experience some strange internet activity this week as well, especially the last 24 to 48 hours?
No, funny enough, well, there's an occasional time where, you know, I'll be on a WhatsApp call and all of a sudden it'll just get like...
That's it, yeah, some drops and just lagging and some sites taking longer to load. I wonder, it was never really reported.
No.
But I was wondering, oh goodness, I hope it's not this undersea cable that's been...
I always get nervous when that's done. Like, you start going on WhatsApp and it's loading for a little bit too long. You're like, oh no.
Yeah, 2023 life, right? I was wondering, you know, what if there's a shark... playing with the cables, you know, bumping it too hard. It's,
you know,
going to break again.
Now that we're talking about stable internet connections, this, I think, starting off with the news today, the first piece that I think is really, really cool is Metro Fiber, which is a fiber company, has launched its first store in a township. So super, super cool. So South African fiber network operator Metro Fiber launched its first store in Thembisa on Friday, 1st December 2023. The new experience store is located at the Buzzy Corner in Thembisa with employees recruited from the local community. The store will provide community members with a safe and convenient space to close their homes when they can, where they can go and learn more about fiber internet, test out fiber connected Wi-Fi, order a Metro Fiber service, and get technical support and assistance. I believe that I think the initial cost is a 250 rand cost, and they get 20 megabyte per second internet for 14 days. And then they can go back and top up. And I think the rate can come up to about 40 rand a day. So they can just go there, top it up for the day, and they have 20 megabyte per second uncapped fiber literally at their disposal. It's very cool because, you know, we are very lucky to have access to some of the internet solutions that we have. I always said, and I think, you know, the future in SA is to connect the unconnected. So to give cell phones to the people that don't have cell phones and to connect them to the internet. That I think is essential.
Mm.
And when you've got a barrier to internet that is mobile data, which is for the same price as they would pay for a month worth of fiber, you know, they're going to pay for... Yeah, they're going to pay hundreds of rands for a few gigs of data. It's so expensive. Data just on normal roaming is like hundreds of rands for fives of gigs, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, like in the lower budgets, they buy like WhatsApp bundles and stuff.
Yeah, that's the only way.
Because that's like 15 rand or so, and then you can WhatsApp for a week.
You get 2 gigs that you can only use on WhatsApp.
Okay.
That was the worst when I was on the plane because it was like you can have internet but you may not receive photos or voice notes. So it's like half disabled but not really. But to be able to get 20 megabyte per second internet directly to your home in a township, can you imagine how hard it must be to get connected to the internet, to get fiber infrastructure dug and routed all the way to your house? And to see someone actually stepping up and doing that for me is just fantastic.
Yeah, that's a nice one, eh?
You really
well
need
done.
To see it more.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
And then, you know, in a mirrored version of that, China has apparently donated some generators to South Africa.
Yeah, and it was received this week, eh?
Yes.
And there's more coming.
And they're petrol generators.
Yeah. But I thought it was like for the people, like for the residents, but it's for the hotels. I mean, hospitals and the, you know, the government buildings.
So apparently they range from 6 kilowatts... kilowatt hour to 200 kilowatt hour, the inverter batteries. So the inverter generators, my generator was 3.4 kVA. These seem to be 6 and 200, up to 200. So 200 would be for like your clinic, for your mini center, even for a hospital. And 6 would be what you would traditionally have for like a home or a small store or something like that. So apparently 500 and something generators have arrived and the distribution of those have already begun.
So that they come, obviously, not by air, hey? Was it by sea?
Whoa, that's a great question, because our harbour is not doing too well, apparently.
No, because then they would still sit there in the queue.
Not
and wouldn't
well.
See them for, like, 5 years. So it must have been by air.
It must have, and they're not light, eh? Generators are a hell of a heavy.
Yes, like
especially when you're marching on the ways to 200 kilowatt hour power.
That was one electric plane, eh?
Jesus. They were the guy, the pilot when he arrived had no nails left.
Yeah.
So a lot of like, there's a lot to cargo there.
Yeah, you're right. Crazy.
Here's something very cool. You've spoken about it before, Checker 60 and 60. When was the last time you used it?
Dude, a few hours ago.
Really?
Yeah.
How often do you think you use it a week?
Once a week.
Once a week.
I try once a week on a Friday when I do all my shopping, but sometimes twice a week. And you?
It's crazy that all your shopping revolves around you sitting on your phone going through a menu, adding items to your cart. That's
selecting alternatives.
So exhausting.
It is.
I can
but
really keep
I wish this existed like 20 years ago when I hated doing shopping.
Man, I would have the time of my life sitting there on, you know, mom and dad's phone just loading up the cart for the
Where
weekend
this,
with the
man?
Friends, you know.
Yeah, how often do you use 66?
I use Woolies Dash sometimes.
Okay.
Not all the time. I use 6060 sometimes, not all the time. Then I heard about a new delivery solution called Spa to You.
Okay, so that's okay. Guess where that's from? Spa.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely not ShopRite. So Spa to You is essentially the Checkers 6060 version and the Woolies Dash version of Spa's grocery to home delivery service. And Spa has recorded a substantial user and revenue growth for its on-demand delivery app Spa to You over the past year. The service was initially piloted with selected stores in the early 2020 and rolled out to a group of out northern suburbs of Johannesburg in March 2022. My Broadband tested the service in September 2022 and was able to receive a order within an hour and 16 minutes, which was in the scheduled time. And Spa has since expanded the service to 373 stores across all major metros, and they completed that in November. So a further 170 outlets are also earmarked for the rollout in the coming weeks. But I thought it's very interesting because Spar's app downloads has increased by over 350,000 during the past year, and 20 to 25% of these are active users. And Spar said this aligns with their industry benchmark. So based on that percentage, Spar2U has amassed around 70 to 87,500 new users during the year.
Sure.
Just from delivery services.
But I mean, I haven't seen that app yet. But I mean, if you look at the Pick and Pay app, for example, it pales in comparison to the Checkers one. It's not nearly as advanced, the Pick and Pay one. I don't even know what the Pick and Pay one's called.
No.
Isn't it called ASAP or something? ASAP. Have you seen? It's not as advanced. I mean, like the other day, I went onto the Pick and Pay one, and some of the thumbnails didn't even load, you know?
Pick and Pack.
I don't think that's the name, but that's actually...
It's a good name, though. They cool can name. Contact me if they want it.
Yeah, but not that. Nearly as advanced as the Checkers one.
No.
I think they've got an amazing software thing going there.
It's running so well. I like it a lot. I love seeing these new companies with delivery services. And yes, people say, oh, but there's nothing better than, you know, you've got to drive out, you've got to do it. Yes, but when someone like Spar can increase their monthly revenue and volumes by an average of 27% over a year by introducing an app that allows them to deliver the food, you're talking about a quarter of your revenue.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a quarter of your previous revenue you just made more by offering delivery services. You wouldn't have made that. You'd have 75% of what you had today without that. That is insane. It shows you where we're going into the future. Mm. It shows you these are services that are wanted by people.
Yeah, definitely.
Nizna used to have a Nizna delivery.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know why it closed, to be honest. Because when they closed Nizna delivery, I was added to a group chat where it showed, you know, all the people that obviously ordered from Nas Delivery. And it had hundreds of people in there. Hundreds. And I was like, oh my word, how can it close down if it has so many people? And in all honesty, I think a fair amount to pay someone to deliver your food isn't like a 30 Rand or a 25 Rand. I think it's fair to pay someone what it would cost you to get in an Uber, go there and use the Uber back.
Yeah,
I think if you pay that, it works out to about 60 to 80 Rand.
Mm.
So I remember Nizna Delivery used to charge 35 Rand, but I don't think it would have been too much. I think they would have got some backlash, but I don't think it's too much to ask for between 75 and 80 Rand for delivery if it's like an on-demand service. Like it's right there. It's like Uber Eats.
Mm.
Uber Eats, I think, would go very well. Somewhere like here, to be honest with you. I really think it would. And I think the biggest reason that these things don't go off is the same reason Uber didn't immediately get successful. It's because there's a failure to communicate to the people of Nizna when these kind of services are available. I bet you there's someone in the audience right now that was like, wait, there was a delivery service for Nizna?
They think it's still going.
You know?
It just disappeared overnight, eh? And it's usually the case where you don't realize it until somebody actually mentions it.
Yeah. Then it's gone.
And then that also shows us that you didn't use it enough. And that's probably why it no longer exists.
And they did it for grocery deliveries as well.
Yeah.
Like
I know that they actually went to the restaurant and stood in the queue for you.
They needed technology.
Like KFC. I used them for KFC a few times.
Have you got KFC deliveries? KFC deliveries in Nizna?
Just from that food Nizna delivery service.
No, but now you can just order directly from KFC.
Is that so?
And they deliver it, absolutely.
But now I don't want KFC anymore because I'm seeing all the complaints about how they've deteriorated, not just in our area, just in South Africa, you know.
I must say, there is a significant there's an impressiveness to being able to consistently get one thing in everybody's order wrong. I don't know when was the last time I ordered from KFC and they got everything right. It's not that I'm complaining. Generally, I've learned to expect it. but they always get one thing wrong, and it like blows my mind, because it's like, how does that happen? But what happens for this to go wrong?
Yeah, but on social, I think it's just people are too lazy. On social media, just people posting the burgers and the chicken on it, you know.
Sometimes the food quality is just not.
Yeah, all those nice buckets you get, and you can just see the chicken actually looks tired. And like thin and hungry.
He ran over and got into the box wheel.
Yeah, oh, so I don't know what happened, but they need to do something. Somebody must call the colonel.
The colonel? Elon Colonel. Speaking of, when we come back from the music break, we're taking a look at Tesla, which just officially rolled out their Cybertruck. Electric Bucky.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
When we come back.
When we come back.
Slurring all your words, there's makeup on your shirt. You're dancing on the tables, can't you see? That you look like a mess and you're singing Whitney. Whoa, oh, I hate you, hate you, I hate you. Hate you when you're drunk. Oh, you got them drunken eyes, should we call it a night? You've been telling stories 4 or 5 times. Yeah, I heard it before and my ears are beating. Whoa, oh, I hate you, hate you, I hate you. Hate you when you're drunk. Because you wanna buy champagne and you wanna throw the shots back. And now you're taking photographs while my taking photographs. Why am I the only one that don't laugh? Oh, I hate you, hate you, I hate you. Hate you when you're drunk. So quit acting like a fool, 'cause I hate you when you're drunk.
Welcome back to Tech Plus, discussing this week's biggest tech stories in South Africa and the world. Ken's got the latest on the Cybertruck.
Would you own the Cybertruck, knowing what you know about it so far?
Not necessarily. It sounds cool.
So it costs a 1.1 million rand, basically.
Okay, so basically that's million. Already not happening for me.
Look, it's a very expensive, but what if you could get it for free? Would you take it? would you drive it? It's a pretty big vehicle, Ed.
Sell it to me. It's too big.
Sell it to you.
Yeah, what can it do?
It can drive. It doesn't even use petrol.
Okay, so it's totally electric.
Totally electric.
Is it powerful?
It's pretty powerful.
It must be so quiet as well, like silent, like you can drive over people that won't even know.
It has a range of about 402 kilometers.
Before the next charge? Okay.
Yeah. It is, I think it has 350 kilowatt hours of power. So, I mean, that's quite a lot, but it is an electric vehicle.
Is it nice looking? Is it a nice design?
It literally looks like something out of the future, to be honest with you. I wouldn't say it's ugly at all, by any means. I'd say it's very futuristic. I'd say the inside of it is crazy. I think it's a new take on how cars, at least Buckys, look. Because, I mean, a Bucky, we all know the Hilux Bucky shape, right? Mm-hmm. That's just how Buckys are supposed to look, that's in my opinion. The Cybertruck, however, looks like a Bucky that is not supposed to be a Bucky. It looks like it's supposed to be a car that's not treated like a Bucky. A Bucky seems like it can go a lot of places and do a lot of things. The Cybertruck seems like it does those things, but looking very stylish.
Would you actually like one?
I would absolutely use a Cybertruck just for the sake of trying it out. It would probably suck because, in all honesty, it's extremely difficult to manufacture. It's like, it looks completely outside of the norm. So you're going to have a lot of attention on the road.
Really going to stand out. Yeah.
But I definitely would drive it. I would absolutely try it. I mean, you can't. If I could get it for free, I would do it. They did promise that originally that when the Cybertruck came out, that it would cost about $30,000. At the moment, it's about $60,000. And the most expensive model is about $100,000. So kind of puts it in perspective. They have some very high-end versions and some entry-level versions that will be coming out in the future. But the waiting list is so long that you might as well start looking at the next version of the Cybertruck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when you're going to be if you ever are thinking about buying one. Because they're definitely not going to be available in South Africa.
Aww.
That's, I mean, how would it ever get you? You know, they're producing, like, not enough. Definitely not enough.
You're stuck in the harbor anyway.
But they did their Tesla Cybertruck delivery event. This was after 4 years of delays. Tesla Cybertruck finally arrived, and Elon Musk hosted a delivery event at the company's factory in Austin, Texas, touting its towing abilities, bulletproof doors, and straight-line speed. Several customers took delivery of their Cybertrucks at this event. Opening the door did prove to be a little bit tricky while they were busy filming, but before the company released updated details about the vehicle specs, price, and etc., they did share some information on their website about it as well, and you can go to their Twitter and you can go view the event live and see what happened and how it looks. But I think overall it's pretty cool, and it's back, although it looks like it looks a bit like it's a SUV, but at the back it definitely has like a Bucky type of cabinet area. But it's finally out. I mean, it's been a long time coming, eh? We've been talking about the Cybertruck forever. But you know what else happened with Elon Musk, and you won't believe it. So Elon Musk was at the DealBook conference on Wednesday evening, and he was being interviewed, and he was being asked about what he thinks about all the advertisers that are no longer wanting to advertise with X, because sometimes their advertisements have been next to posts that shouldn't have, you know, that brands wouldn't want themselves next to, you know, racial things and all sorts of like stuff that you don't want that your big company associated with. So he had all these different advertisers basically pull out. And he was in a talk at this particular conference event, and he was asked about, you know, what is his thoughts on this. And he said, and I quote, he told the advertisers to go F themselves. They said, you know, if you don't want to advertise here, then don't. And go F yourself, because you can't blackmail me with money. That's basically what he was saying. It's like, how dare you blackmail me with money? If you want to boycott Twitter, just know that you're going to be the reason that Twitter fails, and all the users of Twitter will know that this is the reason that you failed. And at the end of the day, you know, go F yourself. And that's literally what he said on live television. And then,
jeez, I wish I had that kind of money, then I would say it as well.
Well, at the conference as well, before Elon Musk even went up to speak, Bob Iger, who's the CEO of Disney, was speaking, and he basically mentioned that he's boycotting Twitter until they fix this, so that he's preventing the money. And Elon Musk, when he had a chance to go speak, actually called out Bob.
Woo!
And he said, Bob, if you're in the audience listening to this, you know, go have some fun.
X versus Disney Plus.
Yo, Disney X.
No more Disney tweets allowed.
That's wild. Disney's been banned from Twitter.
Jeez, how did I miss this story? Because that's quite juicy, hey?
That is absolutely crazy. And that's basically what he said. And it is a very difficult situation for humanity as well, because there's a few reasons that Twitter's good and a few reasons that Twitter's bad. And the reason it's bad is the same reason that it's good, believe it or not. The reason that it's good is that it's enabling free speech. So it's very focused on giving people the ability to speak their mind without being censored or, you know, cancelled, essentially, which was something famously done by Twitter a lot. You would be like, you know, someone actually once said if Martin Luther King was still alive today, he'd be cancelled on Twitter. You know, there's like all sorts of sayings like that, because Twitter cancels people, and they, you know, and all sorts of social media platforms do it. So Twitter is essentially trying to be, or X is trying to be, this free speech platform. But with free speech, people say things that you definitely don't want your ads showing up on. So that's why I say the same reason that they're better is the same reason that they're suffering. And that transition is the problems that they're having is a byproduct of that transition, and whether or not society is going to accept free speech, and whether that model of how you earn money as a social media company will still roll and make money in the similar way with this kind of free speech mentality. So it could sink, though. Absolutely, it could. It could indeed. Before, you know, we move on to the next music break, take a look at this. So EA Games. You know EA Games? EA Games. It's in the game.
Have yes, that's it. That? Yeah, yeah.
Like Rugby 08 on PlayStation.
And I'm not a gamer, and I know that. And so I'm sure what everybody knows.
Who
that.
Doesn't know that? Yeah. That was perfect. I've heard that. Bradley.
I can hear it now that you said I'm hearing it in my head, yeah.
So, Very Ali Gaming, which is a gaming company, has spotted a file, a patent that has been filed by Electronic Arts, EA, in the US. For a system that allows players to replace their voices with in-game characters of their own voice, right? So they can essentially replace the voices of an in-game character with that of their own voice. So we've seen That's it in cool. the past. We've spoken about some AI models that you can speak to for 30 seconds, and then you can basically write a bit of text and yourself will read it out. And in the same way here, you can basically train an AI model within a game, an audio synthesizer, and that game character that you're playing as now has your voice and says all the things that you say with your voice. And they actually patented that technology and filed that patent. Whether it's going to be approved or not, time will tell. But similar to technology does already exist, but you know, they absolutely are trying to change the immersion level in games. One thing I'm most excited about is, especially when you look at AI, just for the sake of being able to say that I did it, is to be able to go into a game that uses your mic, whether it's something that you play on the mouse and keyboard or something you could go into VR with. And every single non-playable character, every single NPC in that game is a person that you can have a conversation with at length. And the conversation that you have with these individuals is dictated, the way that they respond, the way that they talk, their ambitions, their goals, all of that stuff is based on the storyline of that character in this particular game. It's like a whole new layer on lore. So that, I must say, is I think where that patent is kind of alluding to. It's like this world where, you know, not only will you be able to you know, not only will your NPC character in a game, or not only will your playable character in a game have your voice, but also other players around will, other characters that aren't actual players, NPCs, just computerized people, are going to be there, and you can actually have conversations with them and chat to them. And this technology has already been showcased and demoed from Unreal Engine, where they actually connected like ChatGPT with one of the NPCs with the audio synthesizer, and basically you had an ongoing conversation with AI inside of a game like a normal person, you know, where you can basically say anything. So when you think about stuff like that, you're like, wow, is that really where we're going next?
Yeah, that's the thing, eh?
And on that note, is it time for a music break?
Let's go for some music.
Sure what I came for, saw you on the dance floor, so hot now want more of you. Tell me what you're thinking, stop keeping me guessing, can't shake what I'm feeling for you. Something to quench the thirst, yeah. Strawberry thick in the back of the cab, yeah. If you only knew the things I dream of when I sleep alone, I want you to know that it's crazy how you make me feel so strange.
Yeah! the light go out. Don't let the light go out. Don't let the light go out.
Welcome back to Tech Plus. It is the final stretch for this week, for the first few days of December. And yeah, Kane's ready for summer and to share more tech news with you.
Yo, I'm so ready for summer. Metro Fiber, we spoke about it a little bit earlier. First ISP to basically open a store in the township and offer fiber services to a lower income community. Well, on that note, Starlink has just been announced illegal in South Africa.
Illegal.
You can get in big trouble for being an owner of a Starlink-based technology and accessing the internet from South Africa.
Because we know they were clamping down on the ISPs selling, like, advanced packages of it.
Which is really sad in a lot of ways, you know, to make something like that illegal. I think in this case, uniquely in this case, the values, the gains outweigh the losses.
Yeah.
Because for the first time ever, people in regions that don't even have mobile cell towers, that don't even have access to, even if there was mobile cell towers, access to facilities that can actually share internet in a way that people can buy it. Some people don't have phones and things like that, you know, so accessing that internet is very, very challenging. People have smart TVs but no internet connection to access them. If you can employ something like Starlink in rural areas, low-income areas, just like the company we mentioned before, Metro Fiber, you're able to basically connect people who have never had a connection to the internet to the internet, and you would be able to educate a lot of people at once, you know, in a way that is very constructive and very good for the future of South Africa, you know, to be able to give people access to basic education. Basic education on the internet, I think, is better than that of basic education provided by certain government schools in certain low-income areas. I honestly believe that the internet can provide a better environment for learning from the safety of your home and the safety of your smartphone than from, you know, some really dodgy, underpaid, you know, government-based school, which is not focused at all on educating the children. So,
yeah.
I would love to see something like Starlink allowed, you know, or more things like Metro Fiber. You got to get these people connected. You got to be able to educate them and inform them. And an informed person can make an informed vote as well. And that's another whole
thing. That's exactly what I was thinking now. Yeah. I was wondering if I should say it. But yeah, you're so right, Kane.
So I think it's a perfect next step. And just like we were talking about with Cybertruck, did you know that if you want your Cybertruck to be black, you can pay $6,000, about 120,000 rand. That can be, black.
Is it at least a matte black?
I don't know. It's an expensive black.
It must be. Yeah. Okay. That's a matte black. Wow. Okay. Nice to know.
So, did you hear about Sam Altman?
No.
Sam Altman is the CEO of OpenAI.
Okay.
Which is the manufacturer or the developers, the people who are responsible for ChatGPT.
Yeah, wasn't he fired or something?
He was let go, yes.
Yeah.
And then the whole conspiracy started about, like, well, what did he do wrong that got him let go? You know, what happened? Why has it happened? There was conspiracies that there was a breakthrough in AI that ended up causing him to leave. Others suspect that it's a thing that, you know, as the visionary, to make the transition from a visionary in the research and development phase into a CEO who's going to scale your company, localize it, and make incredible amounts of revenue, he might not have been the biggest pick and he might have been kicked out. But at the end of the day, he was the CEO of ChatGPT, essentially, and he got kicked out by the board, who kind of did it out of nowhere and probably surprised attacked him. He then got swooped up by Microsoft, who is an initial funder of OpenAI. It's actually participated in a lot of large-scale monetary contributions to AI, to OpenAI. So they picked him up and they allocated him as CEO inside of Microsoft. And apparently since then, OpenAI has taken Sam Altman back as CEO. So, yeah, this is just this is absolutely wild. And he went on to say that he doesn't believe that, he understands what people want to know, but he doesn't believe it's fair that they want to know why he was kicked out of OpenAI. And I think it's only fair, especially when you're talking about something that's as influential to job security as AI, and also just essential to the technological evolution of human beings. You know, you're not always going to have two human working hands that are going to be able to sit for hours and hours crunching something that you need. So I'm really interested to see where that goes. Next up, we have The Marvels. There's a show called The Marvels. Apparently it flopped at box office. I don't know if you heard anything about that.
Can I just say, I saw that new, you remember last week you spoke about the new reality show for Squid Games?
Yes.
Oh my word.
Did you watch it?
I saw a few clips this week.
Is it bad? Is it good? Is it worth watching?
It is so overdramatic, and that's really? Coming from me. That means a lot. It was so overdramatic. Like, I think they're kind of making up. They're like trying to compensate for the fact that people don't actually die on it. So this one guy, you know that game they do where they must, you know, what is it? It's this thing you do with your hands, and you have to make this. Is it the cookie that you make or?
Oh, yes, something. You want to, like, break a cookie?
Yeah, something like that. And then he got it wrong, whatever he was doing, he got it wrong. And then this man just collapsed, and he was just gurgling on the floor. I thought he was shot, you know. And then it says player, whatever, eliminated. But it looked like he was in physical pain.
That's traumatizing.
But apparently, he said afterwards, you know, the reason why he was carrying on like that is because he just lost millions that he was going to win. So maybe, you know, that's probably justifies it. But for somebody who's watching it out of context and, you know, who doesn't realize what's happening, it's pretty odd to see that show like that. Eh?
That is absolutely wild.
But it didn't look great. I prefer the series. Keep it fiction.
Well, the new Marvel show called The Marvels. They've got to get better names for this stuff. Jeez, I mean, come on.
I'm telling you.
Failed apparently at box office, but apparently not because of anything like the actors' strike or lack of publicity for the film's performance. Or Bob Iger, the same guy that called out Elon Musk, didn't blame the weird hatred of the film driven by many coming from small communities of Marvel fans that are upset that a film is essentially being led by three females, which I think is the biggest load of crap ever. You know, all you gotta, you know, you gotta like, you can't be, you know, discriminatory towards a superhero movie because it's piloted by three main characters who are female. Like, that's just crazy. Like, that's crazy.
It's looking for trouble.
But he did blame the sheer volume of content being created for making it more difficult to maintain quality, he said. So he said, because Disney is so focused on making more content, that is why the content is quality is being reduced and reduced. But my argument is, it doesn't feel like they're making a lot more. When I go to Disney Plus, it's like, okay, there's like one series here. You know, there's maybe a Spider-Man movie every 2-3 years. There's, what else is there on Disney that's absolutely massive? It's like Loki. It's really not a long list. Like mega shows.
No.
Maybe there's a lot of like really low budget stuff that just wouldn't interest me on my feed. But then again, like, it's still low budget stuff that wouldn't interest me on my feed. It would have made sense for you to focus on it. And you can't botch. There can't be any scenario that exists where spending less money on a Marvel movie so you can make more Marvel movies is a good idea. There's a certain quality and a standard that has been maintained in Marvel movies that betters that of even DC. DC came out with some TV shows like The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow and all those DC-based series. And they were great, but their budgets were definitely very, 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 very low. And then you have something like Loki, where its budget is clearly very, 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 very high. And it's so high, in fact, that it marvels that of The Rings of Power and stuff. It's like a similar viewing experience. You don't have to pretend that stuff is more realistic than it looks. And then to go and decide to spend less money on your franchise, and that's the one thing that's making you stand out a little bit. This is, for me, crazy. Mm. But that's Bob Iger for you.
Yeah.
Microsoft joins OpenAI's board with Sam Altman as the CEO. So I forgot to mention that when we spoke about Sam Altman. Microsoft has joined alongside Sam Altman. So that's just very interesting. Google's Nest cameras, which are basically cameras that you can put in around your house and monitor your house, can let you know when your garage door is open, for example.
Nice.
So that could be pretty useful. I mean, that's an easy-to-make mistake. And sometimes people keep their bicycles and stuff in garages.
Yeah.
And those bicycles would be like 30,000 rand. I mean, I've had friends that have had their really expensive bicycles stolen because they left their garage open.
So you mean like the door isn't physically open?
Like your garage
is... It's just not locked or what?
You just left your garage open. Like, you know, most of them are electronic and robot and,
oh, okay,
and remote control.
Oh.
So sometimes people so just like drive really into their house and forget to close the garage door. You know?
Really, hey?
And people steal stuff. Like, really.
But why are you so scatterbrained?
I know. But I mean, it can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen.
I would see, hey, I can see outside, so that means my garage door is open.
And also, I think the people that would mostly do it is like the more expensive the garage door, the less noise it makes. So a really cheap garage door is just most of the garage doors that I've had in my life. You can't miss it closing.
Yeah, no, listen, I don't need a camera telling me that my door is going open. The whole complex will know my doors.
A low hum sets in as the garage closes. No, they've got those fancy silent garage doors.
You're okay.
Yeah. So then the next thing is Amazon released new Amazon Echo glasses. So it's like a Ray-Ban Meta kind of solution where you've got these smart glasses, which I think we're going to be seeing more of. And then also a list came out of some of the best entertainment of 2023. Would you like to hear some of the nominations that have been put on
Absolutely,
this list?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so Godzilla Minus One is apparently a good show. I haven't watched it.
Why Minus One? Okay.
I don't know. That just seems to be what it's called.
All right.
Alan Wake 2, right, is a game on PS5. So that's no surprise. Well, I don't know if it's Xbox as well. I'm sure it might be. We've also got Super Mario Bros., which was a great movie. You watched that, right?
Yeah.
Good movie. Dave the Diver is one of the year's best games. I haven't even seen that on Switch, Nintendo Switch.
Mm-mm.
Spider-Man 2 on the PS5. I can attest to that. That is a absolutely fantastic game. Then we had some stuff in TV, stuff like Apple sci-fi drama Invasion comes out in a second season. I haven't watched that. Have you watched that?
Nope.
Star Wars Visions Volume 2. I haven't heard about that either.
I'm not nerdy enough. Sorry.
I feel like I'm so far behind most of the stuff that comes out. I don't even know about.
Same here. We're too busy, man.
No, I don't even know about a lot of this. I'm like going through the list and I'm like, no, no, no. Across the Spider-Verse was a good movie. It actually was. Oh, but that's typical for me. I mean, I'll be saying that.
Yeah.
But that's very interesting. And then Samsung launches an internet browser for Windows. I mean, the things they focus on is so weird. So Samsung has launched a Windows version of its internet browser that comes with Galaxy smartphones and tablets. Those interested in trying the application can download it from the Microsoft Store. The app is available for all Windows desktops and laptops, not just Samsung devices. Unfortunately, its rollout currently seems limited to certain countries or regions. That's very interesting. So one of the benefits of having Samsung internet available on a desktop is that users can sync the state from the app and their desktop. So you can basically have a browsing experience and history and password saved thing across your Samsung internet browser on your desktop and your Galaxy phone, which I think is actually welcomed. I mean, I've never missed it because I feel like Chrome does that anyway, but it's still cool to see it there. And at launch, users can sync their browsing history, bookmark, save pages and open tabs. However, password syncing is not yet available, so excuse me, I jumped the gun a bit there. Based on the screenshot shared by Sam Mobile, these guys make the craziest names. they just do whatever they want with their names. The interface appears to be very similar to Google Chrome, which could be partially attributed to being built on the Chromium engine, literally the browser engine that everybody uses. Even Firefox uses Chromium.
Really?
Brave uses Chromium.
I thought Firefox was completely different.
No,
because it's open source.
They use Chromium as well.
Really?
Yeah, it's actually quite
obviously
crazy.
Chrome uses Chromium.
Yes.
Chromium would make sense.
So then in other news as well, we have some AI researchers managed to talk ChatGPT into basically revealing some of its training data. So long before the Sam Altman CEO shuffle, OpenAI was already ducking questions about the training data used for products like ChatGPT. But 404 Media points out this report from AI researchers, including several from Google's DeepMind team, spent $200 and were able to pull several megabytes of training data. So what happens here is the data used to train ChatGPT is obviously very, very valuable. If you knew all the data used to train ChatGPT, you could, if you had enough resources and processing power, you could retrain another GPT model that is doesn't have all the limitations of the current version, and you could do all sorts of other stuff. Anyway, some AI researchers came together to try and find some of this trainable data, to try and to ask ChatGPT questions, have a conversation with ChatGPT, and because it does that conversation in such and such a way, it confuses ChatGPT into revealing its trained data, the data it was trained on. Which is crazy because it's just such a strange thing to think about. Like, for example, most of the tools that are AI that are doing something, the people that actually made the AI don't know how it's doing that. They don't know exactly what's happening, that it happens. It just knows that based on the data and lots of trial and error, they've managed to fine tune a system. Anyway, they were able to allow ChatGPT to reveal their training data by asking it to write and repeat the word poem forever. So when they asked it to do that, it started revealing some of its training data, like in the sequence of repeating poem forever.
Wow.
And it's crazy the things that make it kink out.
Yeah.
You know, the something weirdest, so mundane.
Yeah. So can I try and type in random stuff into ChatGPT and see if it triggers
something? It's like me asking you to say poem, and all of a sudden you start giving me your Wi-Fi password. So it's like... It's so strange.
You can try.
And on that crazy note, it's time to end.
Yes, that's it for our first week of December. I think we have about two or three shows left for 2023. Then we're done.
Our first week of December and the last month of the year.
Yeah. So we have to look at Christmas gifts now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that that's a difficult one.
It is.
But it's worthwhile.
Yeah, it is.
Enjoy the journey, not the destination. You got to enjoy buying the gifts and standing in queues somehow.
Yeah. Don't forget to give yourself a gift as well.
Oh, yeah. Most important meal of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, Kane. And have a wonderful rest of your weekend. And we'll see you here next week. Same time, same place.
Same time, same place. And thanks to all of our listeners listening in. See you next week.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
At night, I drink too much, that's right. All we do is fight. I don't know how to do this. Why am I so clueless? You sleep so well at night. Don't drink too much, alright.
Alright, alright.
You got this figured out. You must know how to do this. Why am I so useless? Hey, let's chill. Let's take a break and get real. Hey, I got feels, but I don't know how to do this. Why am I so useless?
You and I freak tonight. Let's do this one more time. Even though I don't know why.
I know why I'm so useless.
We need to go one more time. Before I'm gonna lose my mind. Even though I don't know why.
I'm so used to being wasted. Soon enough, I gotta face it. I really hope that we can make it. Don't know how to do this. Why am I so clueless? Tripping over myself, tongue tied. Wanna let you know you're blowing my mind. Even though we never get right, I must be clueless. I really wanna do this.
Hey, let's chill. Let's take a break and get real. Hey. I got feels,
but I don't know how to do this. I think I'm useless.
You and I freak tonight. Let's do this one more time. Even though I don't know why.
I know why I'm so useless.
We
more time before I'm gonna lose my mind, even though I don't know why. I think I'm useless. I'm so
you and I freak tonight. Let's do this one more time, even though I don't know why.
I don't why.
We need to go one more time before I'm gonna lose my mind, even though I don't know why.
Something like magic, something like magic.